Due to the global outbreak of the coronavirus, the Voice of America is taking every necessary precaution to safeguard its employees, so our broadcast will look a little different today and in the near future as we reduce our staffing at VOA headquarters here in Washington. We appreciate your staying with us on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, you're welcome to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from my home in Arlington, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. Joining me are two distinguished guests, Professor Nicholas Boas, a professor of communications and media at the University of Maryland Global Campus. Joining us from the United Republic of Tanzania in Mwanza is Eric James Shigongo, a Tanzanian businessman and a loyal member of the ruling party, the Chama cha Mapinduzi. Gentlemen, I have to say that I'm profoundly honored, exceedingly humbled, to have the opportunity to host the two of you on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Saka. I feel privileged to be on air with you today.
You are definitely most welcome, and I look forward to the conversation.
Thank you, Saka.
Thank you, too. Now, let me ask you the first question, Eric.
Yeah.
What do you think about the upcoming elections in Tanzania? Is the country ready for those elections?
Shaka, let me start first by thanking you for this great opportunity of inviting me to Straight Talk Africa, where I can be able to discuss issues in regards to my country's coming general elections. I am very, very confident that my country is ready for the elections, and it's high time that we as Tanzanians participate in electing our leaders who will take the country to the next level of economic growth and social and different aspects of life. We have witnessed President John Pombe Magufuli taking the country step by step toward the new Tanzania. Now, being a democratic country, we have every five years to choose or elect our leaders. And looking at the country now, being a multi-party country, I believe it is high time we participate in the elections, and so that citizens of this great country can choose who will have to lead them for the next term.
Professor, what about you? Do you think that the country is ready to hold an election that would be considered, for example, to be free, fair, transparent, verifiable, and a credible election that would meet the international democratic threshold?
Well, thank you, Shaka. I have mixed feelings here, and that is the country may be ready, but what I'm worried is the structure of the election itself. Is it going to yield fair and free election? That's an issue. There are a couple of things that maybe authorities need to look and to see that fairness prevails. Who really, for example, and I know this may be difficult. I mean, do we have, for example, an independent electoral commission that can really verify these things? Because we can talk in general and be enthusiastic about the election, but my concern here is, where is the structure that can give us the confidence, can give us something to hope that the votes are cast and the votes are counted in a way that there's fairness. It's transparent. That's where I go and a little bit wonder. I like Tanzania to have those elections, true, but I think the mechanics of how to do it is this. I think it's still lagging. There's still some doubts here. And Professor, I want everything to, it can create peace in their country.
Professor, almost every country on the African continent claims to have what it calls an independent electoral commission, at least in name.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
But in your particular view, in your view, what would you say constitutes an independent electoral commission that could carry out an election process that would end up with results that reflect the will of the people and not the will of those who count the vote or the will of the individual that announces the final results?
That's an interesting question. It's true, it may be a little bit difficult to get a really independent electoral commission. It's hard because you cannot get into the minds of the people who have been selected or appointed to run that electoral commission, whether within themselves. Are they really fair? Are they really treating one side of the... and that's a very difficult thing. The only way, probably, that could be done is probably to invite all the political parties and have them meet and together select. Probably that can minimize those worries or unfairness. Yet it is very hard because you cannot get into the minds of people to see what they're thinking. So, you know, that's part of the human nature. Nothing is 100% though. It's always where people may tip the other way. And they'll claim, well, this was an independent commission. Maybe it was an independent commission, but those who are members were not really independent. They were tied to one side of the equation. So it's a huge task, though, to build something that can prevail and bring fairness. Well, the rules and laws are there, but yet people can bend it to fit their own interest. So, but it does help, though, if you have all party political parties come together and select people they think will be, will be impartial and have them sworn in and take over that leadership in trying to spearhead fairness and balanced account of the elections. It's a difficult task, but I hope they try, though.
Thank you.
Because I'm going to tell you this.
Thank you. We'll come to that later.
Okay.
Eric, what about you? Your reaction?
We of course, need a free electoral commissions in every country.
By that you mean an independent electoral
commission. I mean independent electoral commission.
Yes.
In every country, so that you can reduce the number of complaints after every elections. But I know one thing. Constitutionally, in Tanzania, we have an independent electoral commission. Though the members of the chairman of the electoral commission is named or appointed by the president, and there have been some complaints about that. And if you speak to political parties in this country, they always ask for an independent electoral commission. But I know our electoral commission in Tanzania is very, very independent. I know it's very independent. There is no interference or manipulation from the ones in power. It's given all the freedom to do whatever it is, to make any decision, and it supervises the entire election without an interference from the government. So my standpoint here is we need to have independence in all electoral commissions in Africa so that we can have fair elections. But again, I would like to add a point, because there have been complaints in elections in different parts of the world. Even the Western part of the world, like America, there have been complaints in elections. You guys can tell me that in America you have a free electoral commission, but still there are still complaints about, you know, how Trump got into power, and maybe there were interference from other countries that tried to interfere with American elections. So sometimes it's not only about the electoral commission being independent, it's about the people themselves. That's my standpoint.
Professor, do you agree with Eric?
Well, there are a couple of things I may chip in. Maybe Sam he's saying it right, but here's one thing. You see, if you are a player, you cannot be a referee as well at the same time. So having the president appoint a chair of the independent electoral commissioner is not right, because there will always be speculation. And we need the electoral independent electoral commission to be selected by political parties. I think that's the best way in order to remove those complaints that may come because the chair was appointed by the president. That should not be the case.
Now, Professor,
yeah,
we just had an interesting election south of your border.
Yes.
We're talking about Malawi.
Sure.
Why couldn't you possibly borrow a leaf from Malawi?
I think Malawi has shown resilience, and they've shown that probably they're mature in their political system. It's up to Tanzania. If they want to learn from there and, you know, apply those into the election, it's up to them, because these are the authorities. And sometimes authorities do not want to get people who can destabilize the establishment. Mm-hmm. So because they want to preserve power many times. So it's up to the country to go.
What about you? I beg your pardon?
I hadn't finished my point, but you can ask me, so I'm getting confused how to respond here.
I'm sorry, but I think you should be a little bit, frankly, brief and succinct to the point.
Okay, fine, I hear you.
Thank you very much. What about you, Eric? Do you agree with the views of Professor Boas?
In life, we are supposed to be learning from one another, you know. And as a human being or as a country, cannot just say that we are, you know, we are perfect in every area of our life. But again, we are not supposed to be like copying everything and implement everything that our neighbors are doing. As far as my country is concerned, you know, like what happened in Kenya, for instance, you know, in Kenya, they had an election, and then something happened. There were complaints and whatever. They went to court, and then they had to redo the election. The same happened to Malawi. And again, I think it's becoming like a trend right now, and people are like believing more in such a kind of deeds where, you know, you have to redo elections. But my point is, we as Tanzanians, we have our own independent electoral commission,
And the complaint that Professor Boas is raising is the chair being appointed by the president. I think that's the issue. Now, my opinion is, you know, the chair can be appointed by the president, but the chair can still remain an independent person and have his own decisions. Because the speculations here can be, because you are appointed by me as president, so you have to act against, according to what I give instructions. Listen to me. In Tanzania, what I know, the president appoints the judges, but he doesn't interfere. He doesn't interfere with judiciary activities. The same applies to the Electoral Commission. He appoints the chairman of the independent of the Electoral Commission, but there is no interference whatsoever. You remember what happened in Zanzibar, for instance. All right? In Zanzibar, it was the chairman of the Electoral Commission who decided independently that the election was to be redone for the second time. So I believe there is a lot of independence in Tanzania when it comes to our Electoral Commission.
Well, I have news for you because, frankly, when it comes to Zanzibar, you must be in a minority. Because perhaps for the last 15 years in Zanzibar, you have had evidence to suggest that the opposition Civic Union Front, the party of Saif Sharif Hamad, wins the election, but CCM declares victory.
That's not true. That's not true, Shaka.
I see.
You know, I'm telling you that the Zanzibar people, you know, made their own decisions. It has been in the media, especially the Western media has been saying about that. But I'm telling you, I'm in Tanzania right now, and I believe strongly that whatever happened in Zanzibar, it was the will and the wish of the Tanzanian people from that island. I don't believe that Saif Sharif Hamad has ever won an election in Tanzania.
I see. What about you, Professor Boas? How do you respond to that?
First of all, this is really difficult. I mean, your belief should not be generalized in the first place anyway. I think the evidence must prevail to bring that believability. Okay, you can't just, you know, think because you believe and you're in the political party that runs the country. So where is the rationale here? But all I'm saying, for example, when we're talking about choosing independent commission, I think it's independent electoral commission. I think it's fair for people to see that there is no contamination that may bring unfairness there. So I think it's equally right and equally true to minimize some of these conflicts, because we don't have 1 + 1 = 2 here, but at least a mechanism that can bring, at least can silence, can minimize these conflicts. The conflicts will always be there. But as I think we need to minimize these conflicts. So I think the fairness is probably at least
a fair and just process.
Yes, that's all I'm asking. All Tanzanians agree or whatever, they'll go through that mechanism in place, you know, to really look and say, oh, well, no, this was not fair, because look at this, 1, 2, 3, they can follow that structure, which is transparent and very open. That's what I'm saying. But to include people of authority in choosing members of the Electoral Commission, that's where problems begin.
I hear you. And when it comes to the island of Zanzibar, really, in fairness to Eric,
yes,
like every other Tanzanian or every Tanzanian observer, Eric is entitled and may be entitled to his opinion,
sure,
but certainly not his own set of facts. Can you hear me, Eric? Boaz, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Yes. Boaz, what about the same question that I had put to your colleague, Eric? To what extent would you say that the political playing field in Tanzania is leveled to such an extent that the Electoral Commission could, in fact, hold an election which, at the end of the day, would be a reflection of results which reflect the will of the people or the will of the voters and not the will of the Electoral Commission?
There are a couple of things that I see that needs to be really cleared. And this has been a long time. There's an issue of free speech. That's central to democracy. If democracy has to aspire for the upward mobility, central to that is a free speech which can go out there in the media, are able to criticize, bring fair information, inform people, and of course bring debates where people can relate and see where they need to think about the whole process about fairness. Now, if there's no free speech then, if it's curtailed many times, that is a problem in itself, because people have the right to talk, because it's in their constitution. They are allowed to air the views, or they are allowed to challenge some of the things that come from the government in terms of how the election then is gonna be run. Police intimidation at times, and people are fearful, so you don't even know whether they're gonna be able to vote their consciousness.
The way I understand Tanzanian politics,
yes,
is that you do have a robust independent media.
Okay.
To what extent is that media a reflection of the diverse political interests on the ground?
Now that's an issue here. And I'm gonna tell you, for example, the media themselves are in what they call self-censorship. They cannot say other things that the government doesn't like. They're going to be intimidated and say, well, what you're saying, that was sedition. Only recently, there was a newspaper that has been closed down. Shaka, there's an element within the Constitution where it says that newspapers can be closed by the government. Simply, maybe they say something that the government did not like. So that element of a law goes against the freedom. If there's anything then, if the government or people are complaining, the best place to go is at the court. Let the court decide. But the government cannot be the limit for the media expression.
You say so that
this one.
You say that they should have an opportunity to go to the courts.
The better exercise in a democratic country, then, if there's anything that the government or the people see that is wrong, is all right, they should go to the court and petition instead of just go and close the media.
To what extent is the judicial system
now
in Tanzania sufficiently independent as a co-equal branch
of
government?
There's an issue. Well, at times people wonder, is there an independence between the judicial, the executive branch, and the parliament? So that's a big question that lingers right now. We don't know to what extent maybe somebody influenced someone and people don't know. So there's somehow distrust of these three branches. And I hope that should have been dispelled out. It should have been made clear. So at least when the results come, then people may not even say, well, this is because the judges were in favor of the government, or because the government, the judges were in favor of the those who are petitioning. So some kind of fairness and some kind of rationality there is not clear where it is, because there are a couple examples that people cite that, that seems to be not following the law.
How do you respond to some who say,
yes,
that when it comes to Tanzania, you cannot really raise the issue of whether or not the political playing field is leveled, because in their view, not mine, as far as they are concerned, in Tanzania, there is no separation of the state from the ruling party, Chama Pinduzi. Yeah. In fact, they go on to argue forcefully that in Tanzania, you are looking at the state and the ruling party in the context of being fused, that there is absolutely no separation between the two.
Well, this connotation that you're bringing has been said for many times, that there's no demarcation between the state and the political party. So there's a lot of confusion going on. And there are a couple of examples that I may provide, but there is a problem that the party itself becomes like the government. They can give orders, they can do whatever they want, and the government will always not even chastise the party if they interfere government things. So it's a big confusion here. I usually don't understand between this fusion of the party and the government. So I think that's where you may say, well, that creates some uncertainty about how the election then is going to be run. So it's not really clear here. I don't see separation between the party and the government. So that has been an issue all along.
Now, your colleague, Eric,
yes,
suggested that in his view, he thought that the Electoral Commission has sufficient independence to carry out its duties. If true, how come almost after every election, after 5 years, for the last 20 or so years, every after election, the opposition claims that the election has been rigged?
I think the central point there, where they go, is they look for that independent electoral commission. That's where I think they begin complaining, because they see the people who are in that commission. And one thing, that they've been somehow selected by the government. So this is where the suspicion comes on. But also the use of the police at times.
The use of the police and other security forces. Time is not our best ally. We'll go for a break. And when we come back, we shall continue with the discussion. So please, don't go away.
Say what?
Welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, coming to you from my home in Arlington, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. Let me ask you this question. While you were away or while you were not listening, I asked your fellow panelists, to what extent, to what extent would you say that the political playing field in Tanzania is leveled so that the Electoral Commission can carry out its normal duties, so that at the end of the day, we will have an election whose results reflect the will of the voters, or in fact, the will of the Tanzanian people?
Shaka, what I know is we are a multi-party country where we have more than one party. We used to be a single-party system, but now we have multi-party, you know, system in our country. We have Chama cha Mapinduzi, the party that I come from, but we have many other, Chadema, ACT, and many other, CUF, and many other political parties. I believe in fairness, and I believe in a leveled playing field for all the parties, for them to practice whatever political activities they are doing. But again, I do have my own opinion. Now, this is not CCM's opinion, but my own opinion as an individual. I would love to say that there's a time for us to practice, you know, campaigns and ideological movements and, like, you know, like all the political activities. We cannot do that all the time, all the 5 years. People are all activists all the time. We reach a point we have to stop these things and now start working hard toward developing our country. You know, we as Tanzanians, now we are in the move in developing our own country, moving from a poor country to a developed country. Now, for us to reach that level, we have to work very hard. I'm not saying that political parties should not be allowed to do whatever they are doing as political parties, but I don't think it's okay for us to just continue arguing back and forth, you know, activism all the time, opposing or whatever it is, all the time, 5 years. We have to reach a time, stop somewhere, and get busy building our country. Now, in Tanzania, Nobody is not allowed to practice whatever political activities they do. But we must have, you know, a way of doing our political activities. Should I call it a policy or whatever, which is put in place for how political parties should operate during post-election time. And that's what is happening in this country. And that's what actually brings all the complaints that you hear, because political parties will say, we are not allowed to practice, we're not allowed to organize political rallies and stuff like that. That has been the complaint. But in their own constituents, I know they're allowed to do whatever political activity they want to do. I'll give you an example. Freeman Mbowe is a member of parliament from Hai, which is somewhere in the north. Godbless Lema is also a member of parliament from the opposition party, Chadema, also from the north. He's allowed to do whatever he can do in his own constituents. He cannot be moving from his constituents to another constituents and another constituents, moving all over the country, just organizing rallies, while we are busy building our country. You must all understand that our country is moving toward development. I'm not saying we should not.
I know, Eric, that you are a media mogul.
I don't know whether the word mogul fits me, but I'm a media owner.
Exactly. You are a media owner, at least. To what extent would you agree that when it comes to the opposition party, they do not have either unfettered access to the media in order to sell their message, or that when it comes to selling their message to the people who they would like them, who they would like to vote for them, they are very, very, very much challenged, to the extent that sometimes their gatherings, their rallies, are even dispersed by violence, which is basically unleashed by the Tanzanian security forces.
Number one, we must agree that without law is chaos. So we as a country, we have our own laws that govern how our country should be run. Remember, this is a sovereign state which has its own laws and regulations on how the country should be run. Having said that, I would like to say I am a media owner in Tanzania, and I publish stories from opposition parties as well. We have some laws that govern how the media should be run. And just like you are in America or anywhere in the world, you have your own laws that govern. You must have some discipline in how things should be done. As a media owner, I want freedom. I want freedom.
That is true. But to what extent do those laws only apply to opposition politicians and not to the politicians who support the ruling Chama cha Mapinduzi party?
Shaka, I am in Tanzania right now, and you all follow Tanzanian politics, I know. I'm telling you, political parties in Tanzania, they are allowed to own even newspapers. They own radio stations. And you know, I'm speaking this, and the entire world is listening. I cannot stand here on television and say that political parties in Tanzania are not allowed to use the media. They do use the media. They organize press conferences, and they speak whatever they speak through the media. I'm a media owner, I know. So if you want to put the freedom that we have in Tanzania in comparison with the freedom we have in America, definitely you'll find these two different scenarios. You know, the freedom you have in America cannot be the same freedom we have in Tanzania. I know that. So we are free as media as far as Tanzania is concerned. Professor Boas must agree with me. You are a Tanzanian, you live in Tanzania, and you know how things work here. I'm saying I have witnessed with my own eyes, heard with my own ears, politicians from opposition parties speaking things that are actually very awkward on television or giving some very awkward statements, and nothing happens to them. So I'm not saying that we cannot allow chaos, just abusing or speaking bad words to our own leaders. I think that's not allowed in this country. And as far as African Ubuntu is concerned, I just want to say we have to respect our leaders.
Very interesting. Eric, earlier before you resurfaced on the radar, I had asked Professor Boas a question as to whether he believes, like some suggest, that when it comes to Tanzanian politics, you are looking at a country where the ruling party and the state or government, as it were, are fused that there is in fact no separation between the ruling party Chama Chama Pinduzi and the government of the United Republic of Tanzania. How do you respond to that?
Number one, the government to me is an offspring of the political party, because CCM is what goes to elections, wins the elections, and then forms the government. And it's the responsibility of the CCM party to supervise its own government, because it is the CCM that bears the government as its own son. So when you speak about fusion between the two, fusion between the government and the political party, I don't really understand what you mean, because the government of Tanzania comes, is formed by the CCM party, which wins the election. Now, what kind of fusion are you talking about here? I don't know.
I am talking about whether I am talking about people, observers who say there is no difference in their views from the Tanzania that used to operate under the one party system, which ended in the mid-1990s with the election of Benjamin Mkapa under the merit party system.
Now, speaking of the difference, when previously, when we were still a single party country, and now we are a multi-party country, I think the government here is being supervised by the party which forms the government. You must be aware that I remember during the times of Kinana. Kinana used to be the Secretary General of CCM before Dr. Bashir, who we have right now. Kinana looked around the country supervising the government, even speaking against some ministers who acted, who acted on the contrary to what the party then stood for. So that shows me that the party supervises, the government. So these two are in one place, but the boss is the party.
But Eric, you are really, it seems to me from what I hear from you when you talk about Kinana, you are talking again about really those days of the one-party state, where in Tanzanian politics, the state was subordinate to the ruling party, Chama Pinduzi. But when it becomes a multi-party dispensation, surely the ball game has to change. The ball game changes. It seems to me nothing really has changed.
It depends now you speak that from which angle, Shaka. From the angle that I'm speaking from, I say these two things are, I don't know what example should I give you. I see them as the one forms the other, and one supervises the other. And when the government goes wrong, the party will always react. Now, during the single party system, I think it used to be kind of like the same scenario where the party also formed the government. Maybe Professor Boaz there can contribute his own experience.
Well,
yes, please.
Yes.
Would you please weigh in?
Yes. I think to me, the one party system has carried over to what it is now, right now. We don't have to conform to what happened those days back then to right now at present. We're talking about this election of 2020. And things should have been done a little bit differently. In that there seems to be a confusion between the party and the state here.
Why call it a confusion, Professor?
Yeah, I'm going
when
to
some observers, in fact, have suggested that what you have on paper is a multi-party dispensation.
Yes.
Which in reality essentially operates under a one-party state template.
There's a confusion here, because as you say, this is multi-party. And then I think the country should have moved to embrace the multi-party, where there are many, you know, parties, and that they don't, when they come to power, then they don't have to kind of control the government. That the government should be independent here, okay? And so the system that was entrenched way back then still operates right now, which I think is totally wrong here. And you see a lot of confusion come through that kind of operations, instead of having, like, you know, this is like a big thing that embraces all these parties. Then the government cannot be just say in principle, because they won, but it doesn't mean their party owns the government in terms of how to they do things. Of course, their party can bring the ideas, but let the government go on and do things that based on what the government is supposed to be doing.
In fairness, Eric, under the one-party state, it was okay, for example, to have essentially a fusion of the ruling party and the government. You do not have to worry about who would be a judge, where that judge would be coming from.
Yeah.
You do not have to worry about who was a member of parliament and where that member was coming from. But in this particular case, can you give me a situation, for example, while the Chama Cha Mapinduzi is the ruling party, can you tell me whether you have a number of judges, for example, who come from independent political backgrounds and not Chama Cha Mapinduzi?
Let me explain. I've listened to all of you talking, and I think you guys are confusing things, because the foundation of every country is its own constitution. All right? Our constitution allows multi-party system. But again, you must remember that the president of Tanzania is also the chairman of the party. I think you must be aware of that.
Yes,
now,
I am aware.
If the chairman of the party is now in a green shirt and is acting as the chairman, tomorrow morning he's in a black suit acting as the president, is the same person. Now, what you're trying to say here is, I find it like you are taking a path of power sharing or something like that. This party forms the government, and the chairman of the party is the president of the country. This is a sovereign state with its own constitution. We run this country according to the constitution. Now, as president of the country decides who should take a certain position, he's the one who appoints the position that you're talking about. I know some people who came from... Let me finish. Mm-hmm. I know some secretaries, permanent secretaries in ministries who came from opposition parties. Professor Tila Mkumbo came from ACT, and he became a permanent secretary for water and for water ministry in our country. That signifies that the president can decide whatever in his own decision, according to the constitution, to put anyone in power. The regional commissioner for Kilimanjaro, Anna Mgwira, came from ACT, I remember. So I really don't understand why you think there has to be a separation. If the same chairman is the same president, the same party forms the government, and the president has the power to to appoint anyone. I've given you two examples.
Those two examples you gave me, including a permanent secretary, who you said they were chosen from the political parties they belonged to. To the best of your knowledge, do those two individuals still remain card-carrying members of their previous political parties, or did they in fact cross to the ruling party, Chama Chama Pinduzi?
That remains, of course, Kitila Mkombo moved to CCM, and Mama Anna Mgwira moved to CCM as well. But that's not something that we are compassed to do. That was not compulsory or a prerequisite that you have to move to CCM. That was their own decision.
Eric,
if that is true, I'm afraid I made my point.
Yeah.
No. Because how sure are you it wasn't their decision?
Well, because you seem to be speaking with the authority here. That is their decision. And I would like to find some evidence whether it's true they went on their own. Do you have that evidence, though, to suggest their way?
But let me put it this way also. The Constitution of Tanzania, I assume, is a democratic document. Is
yes.
that correct?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Which is pretty much the same, for example, like in the Republic of Kenya, like in the United States of America. In the United States of America, you have public officials who get into positions without necessarily belonging to the political party of the day. To what extent is that applicable in the United Republic of Tanzania?
You know, Sheka, you know what is bringing here, what is bringing all this argument is it takes us back to our constitutions. Comparing America to Tanzania or Kenya to Tanzania is totally different examples because these countries are run with different constitutions.
Now, yeah, but you said that
Tanzania should act like America.
No. I didn't say to act like America. We agreed that the two constitutions have a relationship, which is democracy.
Yeah, that's democracy. A central point.
And that you have two types of people who manage and run governments in those individual countries. You have what is called professional officials, for example, whose political party really has to be the skills, the competence, the qualifications that they bring on the table and not the political parties they belong to. And you also have positions which specifically require your membership in a political party that is in power in that particular situation, at that particular time. That is what I'm saying. So there can't be any differences. That's universal. It is like facts. When we talk about facts here, they are different from opinions. You may be entitled to your different opinion, just like anybody else. In fact, in a democracy, everybody should have a right to own an opinion, however different it might be from the ruling party or the government or the state as it were. But you cannot have or be allowed to have what is called different sets of your facts, because facts are universal. They're a universal value. either we are looking, for example, at a road, or we are looking at something else. And this road, it doesn't matter whether it is in Tanzania, whether it is in Kenya, in Nigeria, or the United States of America. Once we agree that that is a road, that is a fact. Mm-hmm. How do you react to that? Well, I'm afraid, I'm honestly afraid, because due to technical difficulties, I think that we cannot continue on that note. Our distinguished guests are Professor Nicholas Bowers and Eric Shigongo. Get better, not bitter, Tanzania. And please, 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 let's keep the African hopes alive.